Welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program. Let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this early Saturday morning edition of the Truth Hurts program with me, your host, Steve Z. We're heading down to do some disaster survey work at a local level down in South Louisiana. Coming to you live from the old F-250's very comfortable heated front seat this morning. 46 degrees on the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain for this 30th day of October. Damn near the end of the 10th month of the Joe Biden disastrous presidency. He's over there right now meeting with the Pope, or at least he did yesterday. And when asked about abortion, which we all know the Pope is opposed to, as are all Catholics, as are most Christians, and as are most conservative folks who value life, all lives matter, especially unborn babies' lives. They matter. They matter the most because those unborn children in their mother's wombs have absolutely nothing and no one to defend them from being brutally murdered prior to taking their first breath. In our nation, we care more about the eggs of the bald eagle or the spotted owl or the larvae of the Mexican dung beetle than we do about our own human beings' lives, which are literally sucked right out of their mother's wombs with a vacuum cleaner and some delicate tools so that the abortion provider can make damn sure to harvest all of the organs of that baby, of that human life, and sell those organs to the highest bidder. I think that if tomorrow the selling of organs from abortions became a federal crime, illegal to do so, the abortion providers would just simply close up shop and say, let's find something else to do, like torture puppies. If it were not for that massive profit motive, that major profit incentive, there would be no such thing as a quote-unquote free abortion or a low-cost abortion. Those companies would fold up their tents and go find something else to do if they weren't making billions of dollars a year selling teeny tiny pancreases and livers and lungs and hearts and eyeballs and other parts and pieces of the aborted, murdered, unborn fetuses. But I digress, my friends. Gropey Joe Biden was over there kissing the Pope's ass. And listen, I was raised Catholic, and I have a lot of issue with the current Pope. I don't think he's a very good Pope. I don't think he's a very wise Pope. I don't think he's making good decisions on behalf of Christianity, on behalf of the Catholic Church. I truly do not. I do not see him as doing anything good for Christianity by allowing aberrant behavior lifestyles like homosexuality, bisexuality, pansexuality, transgenderism, and all the other things that he is, I guess he has no choice because the church is a giant business. He has no choice but to sort of, kind of, not necessarily endorse, but he can kind of approve of it so as to not tick off a whole bunch of people who don't mind throwing a 10 or a 20 in the collection plate on Sunday. As long as he doesn't tick them off, he doesn't lose those donations each week. So here's Joe Biden, who claims to be a good Catholic, but has no problem ripping a baby out of the womb. And when asked about his meeting with the Pope and their discussions on abortion, Joe Biden came up with a very bizarre and disturbing answer. He says, the Pope says he thinks I'm a good Catholic. What the hell does that mean, Joe? Did you go in there and say, listen, I know we're murdering hundreds of thousands of infants every year in my country with my blessing and with my party's direct requiring, mandating, signing into law? It's my party and me. We're the harbingers of death. We are those who push to murder innocent babies before they're even born. But please forgive me. Please forgive me. And the Pope supposedly told him he was a good Catholic. That's what he says. Of course, we'd never heard the Pope say that. And Joe Biden does have a penchant for lying and twisting the truth, plagiarizing. Perhaps the Pope said that Mother Teresa was a good Catholic. And Joe Biden said, oh, he must be talking about me. I'm a good Catholic. I endorse and promote murder. I'm a good Catholic. Yes, my friends. Very strange. All right, let me change gears here for just a moment. As the Hurricane Ida recovery continues in South Louisiana, I'm watching what I call property whores, property sluts. No, they got to be whores. Whores do it for money. Sluts do it for free. Okay, got it. There's a church, and this church along Interstate 12 near Hammond, Louisiana, always seems to be in some sort of financial trouble. They had a nice little church building at one time. One of these non-denominational Christian churches. They had a nice little building at one time. And they turned the building into a profit machine, which most of those churches are. They're in business to be non-profit profit machines, if you understand that meaning. They get non-profit charity status from taxation from the government. But they're all about getting every grubby dollar they can get their little grubby hands on. This church then decided to do what a lot of churches do in the South. We're not just happy with our small building. And if we build a giant mega church looking building, we'll get more people. More people means more money. So then they bilked a bunch of their church going flock into giving them lots and lots of money to build this giant church building. And then, as happens often with these types of churches, there was a falling out between the pastor and those in the church who were doing most of the supporting. Sorry, we've got to get out and get a little fuel here. And the big church was built, but it was pretty much empty because, well, nobody wanted to go to that church because they didn't like the way that pastor was doing things. So they all bailed out, and the big building, which was partly financed, ends up either going to the bank or someone pays it off, and now likely the pastor owns this giant building nobody goes to. Today, as I was passing that mega church building, I noticed lots and lots of roofing company trucks and trailers and a temporary fence outside of that church. And I realized this church is not acting as a church right now. This church is acting as temporary company offices for a roofing company. This roofing company is paying that pastor or that church group a certain amount of money to utilize their property as a storage yard for roofing materials and trailers and trucks. And they're allowing their roofing company people, mostly likely illegal, invading, trespassing immigrants, but thank God they're here, because you can't find any white people or black people to climb up on a rooftop and do roofing work. And that's what's going on there. Sorry about the hesitation there in my voice. I was a little befuddled. I'm at the racetrack, and I don't normally like to fuel up at places like racetrack. I'd rather deal with a smaller, independently owned gasoline station, but they're few and far between anymore. And where I'm headed, this is the only game in town. It asks you, obviously, to put in your zip code for the time that you're putting your credit card in there. And I understand that because they're verifying that the card is legit by using the zip code of the billing address. And that makes sense. But then it asked me for my phone number. I thought that was very odd. I've never been asked for my phone number, to key in my phone number at a gas pump. They do give you the option to cancel that, so I did cancel. But nonetheless, to ask me for my phone number was a bit odd. So anyway, back to this church. They're making money now, I guess, subleasing or leasing the church facility to a roofing company. I wonder where that money's going. And they've got the whole, almost the entire parking lot fenced off so that only this roofing company can use that building. So that makes me believe there probably aren't any real church services going on. The big question then becomes, is it still a church? And are they still claiming tax-free status, even though they're making money leasing out this building? You see it all over the place. Church buildings, for roofing companies, for environmental companies, and just seems a little off to me. This is the Saturday morning edition of the Truth Hurts program, coming to you from the old F-250. So we stand outside at this moment, fueling up the big old beast on our way down the road. It's obscene, it's disgusting. This time last year, and I have receipts to prove it, I could put 22 gallons of diesel fuel in the old F-250 for right about $40. Just about $40. And right now I am at 21.5 gallons of fuel, and we are sitting at $69. 69 compared to 40. Joe Biden did this. Don't say he didn't. If you look back in history, we are almost paralleling, almost mirroring exactly what happened around 1976, when a clown with big teeth, peanut farmer from Georgia, became the president of the United States. At least that's what they wanted you to believe. He was just a good old boy outside of Washington politics, but he was already the governor of Georgia. He was already a politician. He was just branded. The branding was done to make him appear to be a good old boy. If you don't remember 1976, you're probably too young. We had massive inflation, just as we do now. We had massive fuel shortages, which led to excitingly high prices. People were very upset. They were rationing fuel at the gas stations. You could only get 5 gallons of fuel, and you could only get fuel on a day that corresponded to the last digit on your license plate. If your license plate ended in an odd number, you could get fuel on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. If your license plate's last digit was an even number, then you could only get fuel on a Tuesday, Thursday, or Saturday. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was very disturbing time in America, and it looks like we may be headed back to those disturbing times under gropey Joe Biden and camel toe Harris. All right, gang, trying to get it back together here. It's a little difficult. The arm still not completely healed yet, so it takes a little bit of time to get everything organized as I'm driving along. And my whole point about this Biden administration, him taking time right now to go kiss the Pope's ass and to go over to Scotland for the so-called climate summit, was he was hoping, praying that he could have some type of positive deal going on with regard to passing the massive tax and spend and tax again programs that he and his party are trying to foist upon the American people. Hoping, praying that he would get his so-called infrastructure bill passed. It is, I don't even have words for it, my friends. It is really, really bad, this guy. He has no deal. And when you read the actual legislation, thousands of pages of legislation that they're proposing, they're slipping all kinds of wish list items into that legislation that have absolutely nothing to do whatsoever with infrastructure. Nothing to do with infrastructure. And yet, they think that we the people are stupid enough to buy it. Naughty, nasty Nazi Nancy Pelosi yesterday decided, was it yesterday or the day before? Anyhow, she saw that there was no chance in hell that bill was going to pass, the so-called hard infrastructure bill. She saw no way that it would pass in its current form because the progressives, the squad, the Bernie, the AOC, the nut jobs, the socialists, the wannabe, whatever the hell they claim to want to be, they said, we're not passing it unless you pass this social safety net bill. And that's not going to pass because Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, the only two semi-intelligent, wise Democrats in Congress, said they're not passing that. It's too damned expensive. Even at $1.75 trillion, the actual document came out 45 minutes before the vote. They finally finished printing the document 45 minutes before the vote and expect the people who are going to vote on it, who have to study it, who have to understand it, who have to read it, who have to agree to it, you know, the people voting for it in Congress, they gave them 45 minutes to browse through thousands of pages. Can't be done. Cannot be done. It is my sincere hope, my desire, my wish, my prayer that this entire bill be sent out for the American people to read. It is still my desire, as it has always been my desire, for the American people to have a government that is transparent, that doesn't sneak a bunch of bullshit into a program hoping that no one will have time to read it and will simply sign off on it, so that billions, sometimes in the U.S. nowadays, trillions of dollars don't get funneled to pet projects that do not benefit we, the people, but only benefit the politicians and their family and friends and their cronies and cohorts. It is my hope, wish, prayer, and desire that we wise up as a nation and abandon the two-party system. Five parties would be better. Then you get coalitions between parties that end up working together to help one another out. But I don't know. That doesn't work so well in France or England or Scotland. I don't know what the answer is. I do know that the current two-party system is an absolute abject failure. Both sides dig in their heels and absolutely nothing productive or positive gets done. I want the line item veto. Line item veto. If you don't know what that is, the president, when he gets that bill from Congress, can right now he has to either say yes or no. He either signs it into law or he vetoes it. He objects it. Just gets it out of there. Under a line item veto, the president could look at that massive 1,676-page bill or 3,600-page bill and say, well, I'll sign this, but I'm putting a red line through that. We're not going to put that in. That's out of here. Doesn't make sense to have that. Doesn't make sense for the U.S. government to pay non-working families something called a tax credit when they didn't pay tax to begin with. I make decent money, my friends. Many of you do as well. Do you get a tax credit automatically for each one of your children? No, of course you don't. You have to file taxes based on your actual income. It's called an income tax. We'll get on that a little bit later. I'm not in agreement of any income tax. But if I have to pay income tax and I'm entitled to a tax credit for my children, that's one thing. But for Leticia or Lawanda or Maria or Exobal or whomever to sit home getting government benefits handed to them each and every month and then get a tax credit when they didn't pay tax to begin with? Well, that's just a slap in my face, and it should be a slap in yours, and every working American's for that matter. How the hell do you get a tax credit when you didn't pay the tax to begin with? I don't even want to go back into the subject of this $450,000 per illegal trespassing invading immigrant. $450,000 is what the Biden administration is proposing giving to those illegal, invading, trespassing immigrants who crossed the border and got separated from their children. It's almost $500,000 per illegal immigrant child. Multiply that times the 5,500 they're trying to apply it to during the Trump years, and we're talking about several billion dollars when you add up the 5,500 times 450,000 and give another 450,000 to each of the parents. Some families could walk away with millions of dollars for violating our most sacred law. Don't trespass into our country illegally. Hell, the few billion dollars the Biden administration is proposing in giving these illegal, trespassing, invading immigrant aliens would have gone a long way to building a wall to keep those people out in the first damned place. This is the Truth Hurts program. When I was doing hail insurance work for hailstorms and such in the north, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Oklahoma is not really the north, but it's the center of the country, Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, Illinois, all through those areas, you can go to any tractor supply store and buy a concrete tornado shelter, a small, very cramped, dome-shaped concrete structure that is designed for you to hurry and rush out to in case a tornado comes. And by its design and its strength, the fortification of the concrete, the steel-reinforced concrete, and the steel door, supposed to be able to withstand an EF5 tornado, you pick up one of these concrete tornado shelters for about $450 to $500. Again, very small, very cramped. I think they hold up to four people huddled very closely together. And that's because a tornado comes and it immediately goes. Doesn't linger for days like a hurricane or a blizzard or a bomb cyclone, whatever new fancy meteorological term they want to come up with. Tornadoes are very destructive. They're very selective. They only hit a small straight line path, and then they just disappear. They leave a wake of destruction in their path. But it's a very narrow wake of destruction. Those tornado shelters are not meant to be long-term living arrangements. You hear the tornado warning siren, you rush outside, you get in your tornado shelter, and you wait for it to pass, and you crawl out of your tornado shelter and hope your house hasn't been destroyed. That's the way those things work. In South Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, the coast of Texas, Florida, Georgia, the Carolinas, up the eastern seaboard, we have to contend with hurricanes. The possibility exists each year, sometime from May through the end of November, generally speaking, for a giant low-pressure system spinning itself into a fury, becoming a tropical storm or a hurricane, to slam over the period of 3 or 4 days sometimes into an area of the coast and create lots and lots of damage, wreak havoc. And if you ride out the storm, you know, good luck. Sometimes in those northern states, you have basements. The homes are built over a basement, a dug-out section underneath the foundation of the house. But for many of those newer homes built on a concrete slab, for some reason, that's our new technology. That's why we do things now, and that's how we do things now. We build on slabs, which to me, is not the best way to build a house. They don't have basements. And in the South, of course, in Louisiana, we don't have basements because if you dig down 3 feet, you're into the water table. You'd have the equivalent of a giant muddy indoor pool if you tried to build a house with a basement in South Louisiana, southern Mississippi, the coast of Alabama, parts of the Texas coast, the Florida coast. So we don't build basements to run and hide from hurricanes. You would drown. The amount of flood water that comes in inundates sometimes the first and even parts of the second floor of homes when you live near the coast. Now, why did I mention these storm shelters, these concrete bunkers? Those things are what I call long-term planning, preparing your home's infrastructure for the future. Small investment now of $450 versus you staying in your house during a tornado, possibly becoming injured or killed. It's worth it for that investment. It's like having a whole house generator. It's a long-term investment. You buy it today, even though the power's on. Hell, the power might not go off for another 6 months or a year. But in South Louisiana, where they still stick holes in the ground, poke toothpicks in the holes, and string wires from them for electrical services, just like we did when electricity was first sent into homes. Yes, that technology hasn't changed. We often, in hurricane-prone areas, have power outages. So you prepare. You invest $3,000 now for a whole house generator in the hopes that you never have to use it, but with the comfort and peace of mind knowing that if you do have to use it, you won't lose that freezer full of frozen shrimp or crab meat or venison or ground beef or steaks or roasts or turkey. You won't lose hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars worth of food each time the power goes out for more than a day. Gropey Joe Biden could have been a good president. I mean this wholeheartedly. Gropey Joe Biden could have told the Congress, the Democrats in Congress, send me a true infrastructure bill. Send me a bill that will help us to rebuild our bridges, repair our roads, build new highways. Actual infrastructure. Send me a bill that actually hardens our electrical grid, that fixes the eroding, degrading plumbing systems in places like Flint, Michigan. Send me a true infrastructure bill and I will sign it into law. And upon doing so, he would have put tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people to work building true infrastructure. But like greedy Democrats seeking to line their own pockets with special interest projects, tech projects, he's now stuck with this massively expanded wish list that does not put but about 10% into true infrastructure and hides the rest in so-called social infrastructure, social programs, and the like. He had a chance, but he screwed it up. And now the American people are realizing what I told you well over a year ago, that this clown is nothing more than a shyster, a charlatan, a grifter, which is his family's reputation. Joe Biden is not a good president. He's not even a good man. And he's making himself feel better, stroking his own ego by claiming that the Pope told him he was a good Catholic. Maybe Joe knows the end times for him are coming in his twilight years as he gets ready to fade into obscurity. Maybe he's seeking a little redemption, a little oil or water on the forehead in the shape of a crucifix, a blessing from the Pope. Just remember, folks, in the 1500s, the Pope blessed criminals. That's all the time we have for this morning's edition of the Truth Hurts program. Go out there and make it a great day, everybody. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Opinions expressed are free speech protected under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We apologize if you were offended, but we retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautics.